And as we think about, as an industry, what differentiates us as a provider, we think about investment performance, the ability to do financial planning, and so forth. But what about caring about your clients as a differentiator?
We want to make sure that we're not just asking questions about their investments and what's happening today, but we're asking questions that are much more holistic.
Where's the client focusing their gaze? Are they looking at the presentation? Are they looking at you? You know, what is their posture? Are they excited or are they disinterested?
Welcome to the Bright House Financial Insights Panel Podcast. In these monthly conversations, leading experts share actionable tips and strategies to help financial professionals like you build strong businesses and lasting relationships with clients. Hello, I'm your host, Stephen Boswell, president of the Oxley Institute, a leading provider of marketing solutions for financial professionals. We're discussing key strategies for not just retaining, but expanding relationships with your existing clients. Our panel of experts will talk about segmentation and communication strategies, building unique client experiences, and using the digital tools you've relied on during the pandemic to boost your efficiency even as in-person meetings return. Today, we're focused on communicating in a more holistic manner, going beyond just the numbers to develop emotional connections with your clients. Joining me today are communications expert Erica Dewan, author of Digital Body Language, How to Build Trust and Connection No Matter the Distance, and prospecting and marketing expert Mary Beth Kuzmeski, the founder of Red Zone Marketing. Welcome, Mary Beth and Erica. Let's jump right into it. Erica, I love some of your recent work on connecting with clients remotely. In particular, your thoughts on emotional intelligence and connectional intelligence. Would you mind kicking us off with what those two terms mean for financial professionals?
Let's start with emotional intelligence, which we all know is the ability to be able to read others' emotions and cues and engage more effectively with them by showing empathy. Now, emotional intelligence was really built based on traditional body language. If we see someone's furrowed brows, we know how to engage in a way that they may be confused. If someone's stroking their chin, we may be thoughtful that they may be listening attentively. If someone leans in, we know that they may be ready for that sales conversation. This is what emotional intelligence is all about. Now let's move to connectional intelligence. Connectional intelligence is being able to build that emotional connection no matter the distance, even when traditional body language is not available.
So as we're thinking about application for this with financial professionals, how would you take some of what you're talking about with connectional intelligence, some of the clues that we might gather from their response times or the way in which they craft emails, and apply it to how we relate to that client?
One digital body language signal is the quickness of a client to respond or the length of their responses. If they respond in an excited way quickly, we may get the sense that they are looking forward to conversations, that they are committed and trust us. However, if they send a message that potentially is wordy, seems passive aggressive or confusing, it may be good to sense that there may be hesitation or confusion, like there would be in a furrowed brow or a distracting eye roll during a face-to-face meeting, and you might want to pick up the phone. Another example is simply the level of energy in their voice pitch in a quick phone call or a video meeting. And pay attention in video meetings to digital body language signals. Where's the client focusing their gaze? Are they looking at the presentation? Are they looking at you? You know, what is their posture? Are they excited or are they disinterested?
And I think to add on to that, financial professionals have to do their best to interpret these clues, but also to liberally check in with their clients throughout a meeting to really see how things are going. To say, for example, Mary Beth, how are we doing here today? Are we on the right track here? How do you feel about all this? That's going to work well knowing these body language indicators to really give you a sense of how your clients are feeling and how engaged they are. Mary Beth, I know you're big on using empathy as part of the relationship. How do you showcase that as a financial professional?
Empathy is about being able to put yourself in the shoes of the other person and try to understand what they're feeling. And we have a financial professional that was having trouble making that emotional connection with his clients. So he actually engaged a psychologist. And he would go to the psychologist and debrief his meetings that he just had with a client or a prospect to talk about how he responded to certain questions. But this was enormously successful for this particular financial professional because he started to learn how to be more empathetic, how to say things that were going to have a better reaction from a client or a prospect, and how to actually make sure that he was trying to stand in their shoes and feel what they were feeling, as opposed to being only in his own shoes as the financial professional.
And as we think about, as an industry, what differentiates us as a provider, we think about investment performance, the ability to do financial planning, and so forth. But what about caring about your clients as a differentiator?
As financial professionals, we have an opportunity to build lifelong relationships, not think of ourselves as simply service providers. When we talk about empathy, I think it's also important to think about how we apply it to virtual-only client relationships. Now, empathy, as Mary Beth said, is about stepping into the shoes of another while remaining in your own shoes. But when you're trying to engage a prospect you've never met before virtually, it's much harder to step into the shoes of another and know how to show empathy and make a good first impression. So in a digital-only relationship or at the start of a relationship that may be virtual, I recommend to think about empathy as valuing people's time, inboxes, and schedules. When you are engaging with them, remember to start your meetings clarifying, here's what success looks like at the end of the meeting. Here's how I want to contribute and support you.
Right. As you think about many of the busy clients they have, executives, business owners, when you send a lengthy email or leave a lengthy voicemail or ambiguous in your request, it's in some way taking time away from all the things that they would rather be doing at their business or with their family. Mary Beth, so much of good communication comes down to just being proactive, right? What suggestions could you offer financial professionals in that regard?
One of the things that makes the most sense is to make sure that you've got things coded inside of your CRM that tell you a trigger point. Maybe somebody has a very low risk tolerance, or maybe someone is just really always worried and always calls when the market goes down. And so we have a financial professional that put together this communication trigger system. So for instance, if the market goes down 1% or 5%, or it's a correction in a day, they stop everything. And they, number one, figure out who's on our list in our CRM system that's going to need a reach out right now. Because the market goes down, you know they're going to call. We'll stop everything we do and get on the phone or do a video or do something to reach out and communicate with them. We have one financial professional that has this system of over-the-top onboarding with his clients. And over-the-top onboarding really means that he and his team are so in touch with that client once they become a client that it changes the relationship. He starts with a client thank you letter. Thank you for becoming our client. Then he has a team intro letter, which also sometimes is sent via email, which has pictures and responsibilities. When do you contact all of these people on the team? Then he does a video talking about the client service they're going to do. And so that's already recorded and he sends it out. Also, he has a orientation for his clients right when all the money's been transferred. They get their first account statement. They are opening up their online accounts. And so he does this process where he has an orientation and all the team is on. And the result is pretty fantastic.
Erica, and you're thinking about proactive communication. Does personality type play a role?
Personality type definitely plays a role in how we proactively communicate with clients. In my research, I found that there are three different ways we can proactively communicate with clients. The first personality type are those that are thinkers. These are individuals that really like to communicate around big ideas. They like trends. They like market reports. They like to read information, really synthesize. They tend to be more introverted than extroverted. The second type are enablers. These are individuals that really thrive in proactive communication by meeting other people through relationships. These are individuals that may join those on-demand virtual webinars you host or a client-to-client dinner where you're introducing clients with one another to share information. And the third type are what I call executors. These are individuals that just want exactly what they need when they need it. They don't want more information. They don't want to talk about the big ideas like the thinkers. They don't want to network like enablers. They just want to get what needs to happen at that moment done.
So it really speaks to exactly how you would send an email to them, leave a voicemail for them. You would either give a lot of details, connect them with other people's experiences, or be very direct and to the point with them.
Exactly. When showing empathy, it's important that you're reading the room and being conscious of when to stop and allow them to share. If it's an introvert, maybe they need some quiet time to process ideas. If they're an extrovert, give them ample times to share during a presentation versus just at the end. And at the end of meetings, take a moment to simply ask, how did that go? Is there any other way I can better serve you? Is there anything else that you're looking for right now? You will realize that you can provide them even more value if you simply show that sense of empathy and ask.
Mary Beth, from your perspective, let's say, for example, I'm a financial professional, and heretofore I've always had very investment-focused conversations. And I hear what Erica is saying, but boy, that has not been me over the years. How do I start to adopt some of that in a way that feels comfortable to me?
One of the ways, and it's something we call asking big questions, like asking, what is your biggest concern right now? Now, by the way, they won't give you one. They'll give you more than one. But if you ask that question in that particular way, it makes them answer the question. You know, if you say to somebody, how you doing? Good. I mean, that's not a thoughtful question or answer. But if you're asking a big question, they are forced to answer the question in a way that they're probably going to give you a meaningful response. And that's really important because we want to make sure that we're not just asking questions about their investments and what's happening today, but we're asking questions that are much more holistic so we understand what's happening in their entire life so that we can be prepared to put together the correct solutions for them.
I think there's a lot of power in teamwork here. We were working with a financial professional once who said, yeah, that's just not me. I have a couple of go-to questions. And I think we all have conversational habits. We have standard questions we're prone to ask. And he says, you know, this is not my sweet spot. And we encouraged more of a team dialogue around it. Let's all throw out some of our best questions that might open up a client meeting or get them to tell us a little bit more about how they're feeling about a certain issue. And before you know it, we have one page that turns into two. And all of a sudden it serves as a guide for the whole team to be more holistic.
It changes the way that the client feels, because if I give up more information, I'm going to feel a different kind of connection with you. It's like all of a sudden there's this bond, and perhaps no one else knows some of these things that this financial professional now knows about them and their life and their goals.
Yeah, and the beauty of this is that it gives financial professionals the opportunity to identify other needs a client might have and provide them with a connection to another professional in their network. And I think every financial professional has referred a client to an outside professional at some point, an accountant, an attorney, a mortgage broker, you name it. Erica, when a financial professional does want to make that connection between a client and another professional, how would you recommend they go about it?
When it comes to connecting clients with other experts, what's important to do is to first really identify what does your client want and need, and what might be interesting topics or areas of expertise that they'll need not just now, but in the future. So a simple question at the end of a meeting could be, what are some other areas of interest that you have that you're focusing on as you think about your financial future? Or as you think about future events, such as buying a home or planning to have children, are there any key questions that you have or any areas of expertise that you're looking for? These simple, sort of open-ended questions will allow you to identify if you may have someone in your network that will allow your clients to live a better financial future.
I would recommend that they go about it in a very personal way. So instead of saying, hey, contact this person, I'll send an introductory email for you to this particular professional. And maybe you do it to two or three different professionals if you feel like you want to not just put all the eggs in one basket and let that client choose, but be a part of the process, because then that'll keep that other professional connected with you and the client. But it keeps the financial professional in control of sort of being the quarterback of the relationships that that client will have.
In an environment where we are doing more virtual meetings, it is a great time to incorporate some other professionals. And we've seen some fantastic joint events between financial professional and accountant, financial professional and mortgage broker, where both people are responsible for bringing clients to the webinar or the virtual meeting, which has a marketing impact, but also that both client bases are able to learn from the other professional. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again to Erica and Mary Beth. Insightful as always. Stay tuned, everyone, for our next podcast, where we'll talk about keeping clients focused during times of volatility and identifying and repairing any challenges in a client relationship. You can find more episodes of the Bright House Financial Insights Panel podcast on brighthousefinancialpro.com/insightspanel. or subscribe for free through any podcast app to receive new episodes direct to your mobile device. Stay ahead of the curve with the Insights Panel from Brighthouse Financial. This information is brought to you courtesy of Brighthouse Financial Incorporated, which provides, through its affiliates, annuities and life insurance products issued by Brighthouse Life Insurance Company, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28277, and, in New York only, by Brighthouse Life Insurance Company of New York, New York, New York, 10017. The opinions expressed are those of the speakers, and the information presented is for educational purposes only. Speakers are compensated for their participation as subject matter experts. For financial professional use only, not for public distribution.